May is Wildfire Awareness Month, and the Douglas Forest Protective Association is warning people to get ready for the dry, hot days ahead. We'll certainly see some of those by later this week. We mentioned earlier we have some temperatures getting up into the 80s, maybe close to 90 in a few inland locations. Public Information Officer Rachel Pope joins the Jefferson Exchange to tell us how to protect ourselves and our homes. Rachel, good morning and welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on today.
Well, tell us a little bit about how, overall, the concerns primarily that you have, that the organization has, ODF has, regarding this increase that we have seen in recent years with wildfires and smoke. Sometimes we've seen some days where we've had air quality all the way down into the hazardous category. What are some of the big concerns that the organization has?
Well, representing DFPA, I'm partial of ODF since I am a part of the association and not directly with ODF. So the things that I will comment on are representation of DFPA. I just want to clear that up.
Okay.
Some of the concerns that we have overall as a state and including into Northern California, since we share borders, is the human-caused fires that are preventable. We know that a majority of our large fires on the district and throughout the state are caused by natural causes such as lightning. Those we can't control. But the prevention that we as humans can take is the thing that we would like to emphasize on. Last year in the Douglas District alone, we had 91 fires that burnt 122 acres that were human caused. We had 120 total fires throughout the district. And so of that, that was about 75%. And historically, in the past 50 years throughout the Douglas District, 75% of fires were also human caused. So that's the main emphasis of Wildfire Awareness Month throughout the nation. I believe the last totals for the nation is about 80% of fires is human caused. So bringing awareness to things that humans can do to prevent accidents from happening or while they're traveling is a big emphasis of what we're all doing collaboratively.
Well, let's talk about some of those things. What can we do to prevent these wildfires?
You know, with us and through OSFM and other structural municipality fire agencies, we really emphasize defensible space. But sometimes when I'm out in public, I have a lot of questions of what is defensible space and what does that mean? So basically, we're telling homeowners to focus on the 0 to 3 feet around your home. That's what we call the home ignition zone, or a major area that individuals could focus on clearing out things that are flammable. So I know winter was just here. It makes it easier to stack your firewood along the house so you could grab it and throw it in your fireplace or your wood oven. But now that things are heating up, you know, moving those things at least 30 feet away from your home. Look at ladder fuels. Ladder fuels are like climbing roses or climbing ivy or even sticks and low-hanging branches or leaves and needles that have accumulated around the perimeter of your home. Try to get that out of there. I know we're all having garden beds and stuff like that and trellising peas and tomatoes that climb. If you're going to set up your garden, keep that at least 20 feet away from the structure of your home. So it's simple things like that that we could adjust when we're planning for what we're doing in the upcoming sunny days and the sunny months. But it's also good housekeeping of cleaning out your gutters. It's been raining. We've had debris that have accumulated on the roofs and our gutters. Now that it's clearing up, get up there. Or if you are handicapped or can't do that yourself, try to reach out to your neighbors or if you have siblings or children that could help get up there and clear that out. We really want to slow and reduce the intensity of when wildfires happen and create a space around your home that's neat and clean and green are three major things that we could really help emphasize for people to remember. So clean out those areas, get rid of those types of fuels, of vegetation, and if you have grass, if you have a lawn, try to keep that hydrated, try to keep that green. when grass dries out and becomes brown, or any type of vegetation, brush, trees, it becomes susceptible to fire, and it can spread fire very quickly. So those are the things that we are trying to eliminate to make it safer for you to exit your home and for firefighters that are going to go in there to defend your home safer and easier as well.
Depending on where your home is located and its long history with trees that have perhaps grown up just across your property line with your neighbor, some people may find it very difficult, if not impossible, to try to produce 30 feet of defensible space. Do you have recommendations for them?
We emphasize the home ignition zone, which is 0 to 3 feet around your structure, and that's your dwelling, your main dwelling, which is around your home. If you can control that 0 to 3 feet around that area, and if you have any shared fencing, a lot of us have wood fencing and not a metal fencing, is try to clear that brush that's on your side of the fence. If you have trees or brush that hang over from your neighbor's side onto your side, I would just try to, you know, ask your neighbors if it's okay if you limb that up and cut that over. If there's any trees on your side of the fence that connect or touch a brush or anything like that that hangs over from that shared area, try to cut that down so it doesn't connect. I know having a green canopy is beautiful to look at and it creates shade, but having those areas that adjoin and connect and give, what, again, like we said, ladder fuels that can connect the areas of which the fire travels from one space to the other, trying to eliminate that. There's also programs out there. The FireWise program is a great program. That's a nationally recognized program. It's kind of like you have Neighborhood Watch that brings the communities together to look for suspicious activities and report it to each other. But FireWise is another program that really brings community together to be fire smart and to emphasize different fire hazards, and also to communicate from one neighbor to the other neighbor if they have limitations or unable to do the landscape or the maintenance that is required. We have about 36 active FireWise communities here in the Douglas District, and we can see the support that everybody gives one another, or understanding if somebody is disabled or has a medical condition and is unable to keep up or maintain their property, that other people jump in and try to help. There's also grant programs and grant funding that's out there that's available through ODF and also OSFM that you might be able to qualify to help assist you with that landscaping that might not that you might not be able to do yourselves as well.
As I mentioned up front, where there's also this concern about air quality changes in the environment with smoke inhalation. Are there things that people can do to protect themselves better against this type of problem?
So smoke, as we know, especially us in Douglas County, we're a valley, and it kind of just filters in and settles. If you go on to, I have a website, that's air.com. I apologize. I wrote it down. Anyways, if you Google air quality and smoke reports and go to OregonSmoke.org, they have really good information about the air quality in your area and different things that you could do to help filtrate that. Myself, I have HEPA filters in my unit, my AC unit, that filters out that smoke inhalation. I also have an air doctor or air purifier that I hook up, and it's big enough to clean out the air internally in my home. Having a face mask when you're out and about, or paying attention to where that air quality is and not running or playing sports outside to help limit that exposure that you have to that air quality outside. Like I said, doing things to prevent human-caused fires is something that we can control. We can't control the lightning-caused fires, and that can burn thousands of acres if it's dry and the fuels out there are in those types of conditions where that fire can spread easily. And we can't contain that smoke that's caused from those fires. So being prepared and taking caution for when the fire season is coming and having those things available to you to limit the smoke that you're inhaling is one of the best ways that we can be prepared.
Are we seeing an increase in concern or development of evacuation routes? Of course, here in Southern Oregon, with the Talent and Phoenix fire that devastated those communities, evacuation routes was an issue. Even worse in Northern California, where people died. We have a lot of rural areas, Douglas County and elsewhere around our region. Is this a concern? Are we seeing some development in informing people to be aware of evacuation routes?
In the state of Oregon, evacuation is something that we highly emphasize as being prepared. We have levels 1, 2, and 3 ready, set, and go. We emphasize always being prepared when it's summertime, whether we're in fire season and it's a low level or it's extreme level. It's having emergency kits prepared and understanding your exit and your entry routes into the area that you're at and looking at the fuels that are in those routes that are getting to your home, ensuring that those areas are cleared of vegetation so you can get in and you can get out, and also so responders can get in and get out and put those fires out and clear the area so you can enter and you can exit. Because we are in a rural area, then because we live in these areas to be amongst the forest and the trees, that's where we all prefer living out here, those also can cause those hazards. So we really want to emphasize for you to be aware of egress and ingress. It's what we use in the community, the entrance and exit out through your areas. And is there vegetation? Is there low fields? Is there grass? Is there trees that hang over? Is there poison oak? Is there ivy? Trying to come together as a community and get that cleared. If you're in a city area, trying to advocate for those county works and public works to highlight those areas to make sure that they're managing and maintaining it. Again, I mentioned FireWise communities. We have FireWise communities that are in very rural and high wildfire risk areas. We get them established. They're doing what they can to maintain their property. And if they're in a high fire risk area, we have a grant writer that actually writes the grants through ODF or federal grants and propose a plan to eliminate and reduce those risks that do exist. And so if we get approved for that funding that is out there, then we go ahead and with our fuels crews and cut down and create buffer zones from those exit and entrance routes about 20 feet from those roads so individuals can escape if something like that were to happen.
Rachel, we have only about a minute left, but are we still advocating that people have some go kits ready for their homes or their cars?
Yes, always have a go kit ready for your home or for your car. And I'd like to also emphasize, if you have livestock, have a plan and make sure that you have go kits for them. Also, your pets, make sure that you have at least a 72-hour kit for your pets. If you have medications, if you have individuals that might be on hospice or reliant on electrical plug-ins for their care, have a backup generator. If possible, reach out to your electric companies. There's a lot of grant programs out there now that can help you find it if you can get a generator if there's going to be power shutoffs. When there's high wind and there's high red flag zones, all the electric companies will shut off power to those areas, and now they have grant programs out there to help those individuals that are reliant on electricity. Having your go kits are critical. You never know when something's going to happen. So have those emergency things, and also keepsakes that if you were to lose them in a fire and you can't replace them, that you have those ready to go. I know I have pictures of relatives that have passed that I can never replace those again. So I have them in a to-go kit every summer just in case I have to go. I could just grab it and go too.
That's some good tips. We have been speaking this morning with Rachel Pope, the Public Information Officer at Douglas Forest Protective Association. We're entering wildfire season. Great tips for things that we can do. Rachel, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Well, many of you know the JPR airs the Moth Radio Hour on Sundays at 11 a.m. on our Rhythm and News service, and here's a chance to see The Moth live. One of public radio's most well-known programs, The Moth, showcases storytellers sharing true personal stories without notes. So The Moth takes the stage at the Hult Center in Eugene on Thursday, May 9th. This is a chance to experience true stories live as they're recorded for future episodes of The Moth Podcast and Moth Radio Hour. We're offering a pair of tickets right now to the third caller. Here's the number to call in, 541-552-6777. That's 541-552-6777. We'll be back with a look at photographer Corky Lee's life and his documenting of Asian Americans. Stay with us.